WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning. Happy Thursday to you. Happy $10,000 Thursday to you. Because today we will be giving away $10,000. Your first Money Talks cash code of the day comes your way in the 8 a.m. hour. We'll have one every hour throughout the day, all the way through 5 p.m. And today the prize is $10,000. So be listening for all of that. You could be the big winner. All thanks to Long Moving and Storage, who make Money Talks possible here on WBSM. So your first code coming up in just about 2 hours. Today's also going to be a little bit of a fun day with conversation. I mean, we can talk about whatever you'd like at 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But in the 8 o'clock hour, we are going to be joined by Sydney Snow, the regional manager of public relations for Six Flags New England, to talk about their new roller coaster, the Quantum Accelerator. And I'm pretty excited about this. I was watching some video, and this seems really cool. And I think I'm going to have to get up there and ride it at some point this summer. I don't know, like I'm kind of torn. Do I want to just go one day, especially, you know, when they're open, once they're open every day for the season, I can just leave after the show, say, hey guys, I'm taking the rest of the day off, drive out there, go ride the roller coaster. Or I can like, you know, plan a real trip and go with my brother and his family and see if my son wants to go, if he can get a day off of work and, you know, ride the roller coaster with other roller coaster aficionados. But I mean, I love Six Flags. I haven't been in a while, but I always thought they did a great job there. Because when I was a kid, we used to go to the Six Flags in New Jersey before there was a Six Flags New England. So we would go down to, it's in like the middle of New Jersey. And I loved that park. First of all, I liked Looney Tunes, so I liked the fact that it was like Warner Brothers and Looney Tunes affiliated. But they had multiple roller coasters. They had the drive-through safari, all of that. So when they created the Six Flags in New England, I was like, all right, we're going to get some serious roller coasters in New England now. We don't have to drive all the way to New Jersey to ride roller coasters. And they've done a great job building new rides and inventing new rides. And then always, you know, maybe coming up with new ways to brand the rides that they have. But this is a brand new coaster. And the only one of its kind in New England. So you'll find out what that's all about a little bit later on. But do you remember what Six Flags was before it was Six Flags? It was Riverside Park. And I used to go to Riverside Park when I was younger. We went to Riverside. We went to Whalum Park. Rocky Point. By the time, you know, my siblings were all older, there was no Lincoln Park anymore. But we were definitely an amusement park family. Like, we all loved going on the rides, and everybody had kind of their own rides they preferred, but most of us would do pretty much everything in the park. I don't like heights, but I'll do heights for a roller coaster. But, like, I'm not getting on a free fall. I didn't like the sky ride, the thing that would, you know, hang down from the wire and take you across the park. And so the rest of the family would be like, we're getting in the, whatever they call it at Six Flags. We're getting in that. We're gonna go across the park on that. And I'll be like, I will walk underneath you. I'll meet you over there. Just wasn't my thing. Even though I know it was totally safe, it just wasn't my thing. Maybe I'd feel a little bit differently now. But the roller coasters, I was willing to try every roller coaster. You get in line and then you have that feeling of trepidation. Like, do I really want to do this? Yeah, I think I do. And then you get close and you're like, and then you're watching it. You're like, do I really want to do this? But by that point, you've already been waiting in line for 10 minutes. And you're like, well, now if I get out, people are going to think I'm a chicken. And then once you get like into the last third of the wait, that's when you just start getting really amped up and you're like, all right, we're doing this. This is going to be awesome. And then it's over relatively quickly. You know, it's like a minute of your life. There's a VR game that I have for my, the MetaQuest, where it's like you're riding on roller coasters. And it feels like you're on a roller coaster. But I said the only difference is I didn't have to wait 20 minutes to get on the ride, and I can go again if I want to. And I'll never forget, too, Six Flags, New Jersey. I was probably about 14 years old. Actually, maybe, yeah, it was the year Batman Forever came out, so I was probably like 17. And I'm getting on the Great American Scream Machine, which is a hell of a roller coaster. But we're just about ready to take off, and then I stopped the ride operator, and everybody booed. But I stopped the ride operator because there was a AA battery loose rolling around on the bottom of my cart. And I was like, I don't know if you want to just take this out before we go up there. And so, like, he bent over and he picked it up because I was already strapped in. He bent over and he picked it up, and everybody was booing because I stopped the ride. And then the guy just yells out. He holds up the battery and yells out, "This could have killed somebody." And then they just let the ride go. But I'll never forget that. I was like, I figured it'd be dangerous. I don't know that it would kill somebody, but I don't know if he believed that or if he was just trying to be dramatic. That'd be a hard one to explain. What happened to Tim when you guys went to Six Flags? Well, he died. How did he die? He got hit in the face with a AA battery. What? Yeah, he was in the Great American Scream Machine. It was fine when they were going up that first incline there. But then when he went down the hill and they hit that first loop, AA battery just came from the bottom of the cart and smashed him in the face while he was upside down. And like, you know how when they write your obituary, they say things like, you know, passed away suddenly, passed away unexpectedly, things like that. If that happened, I would want my obituary to clearly read, he died after being hit in the face with a AA battery while on a roller coaster. Like, give the details in that particular case, because that's a one-of-a-kind thing. But anyway, thankfully I didn't die. I don't think I did. You guys can hear me, right? Yeah, okay. I just pinched myself. I'm real. So we'll find out about the new quantum accelerator a little bit later on. There are also some stories to discuss. Last night was the City Council's Committee on Public Safety and Neighborhoods meeting. And as you know, the chair of the committee, Councilor Gomes, was asking for downtown business owners and stakeholders to come in and express their concerns in the meeting. And Frank Mulligan has a write-up of it at southcoasttoday.com. And it seems like across the board, everybody agreed that more policing was needed, including, by the way, the police department. So Assistant Deputy Chief Derek Belong, I believe that's the right title, the right order. Anyway, he was there and he was talking about how, you know, they know that they need to have someone down there, but that staffing issues are preventing it. And that if they can get up to the full complement of officers, which they think they're on the verge of doing with these new recruits that are coming in, then they could have more of a police presence downtown. But everybody was kind of pointing to the closing of the substation that was there as being kind of the start of a lot of these issues. And that's what they were saying back when they made the determination that they were going to close this. And I get the, I agree with Mayor Mitchell about the kind of centralization of the police department. That when everything is kind of fully envisioned, if it all shakes out the way that they're envisioning it, you're going to have your South End station, your South End Public Safety Center, which we already have. They'll have a North End Public Safety Center. And then you'll have a central headquarters. They're going to build a new headquarters in the next couple of years. And that will pretty much give you the launching points around the city for the coverage that you need. But perhaps because of the unique situation of downtown, they do need something that's more of a presence. And maybe that's got to be more than just a cop walking the beat. Now, I know the mayor's preferred choice is to move the bus station from downtown to the Whale's Tooth parking lot. I was over there when I was taking photos for a story about the train. I was like, well, how would you do that? How do you envision the footprint for that? And isn't that just taking a similar problem and moving it just to a different neighborhood? Isn't that just saying instead of the people congregating in front of the bus station downtown, they'll congregate in front of the bus station over at the Whale's Tooth and then walk over to Purchase Street over the bridge? Like, it doesn't solve the issue of there needs to be someone down there to discourage the loitering. You know, Councilor Gomes talked about it with Brian the other night on Freedom Fools. They have a group of individuals that have kind of moved in to the library steps. And I drove by. What day was it? It wasn't that long ago. I drove by there. It was when I had to go pick up a medication at the hospital because they sent it to the hospital instead of my pharmacy from when I was hospitalized. So I went over there to pick it up. And as I was coming back through downtown, I went by the library and the front steps. There's people just hanging out on there. So these are the issues that need to be addressed. And I think that more than anything is what has the business owners concerned and what has people say, you know what, I'm not going to go down there. Like, we were writing about the food challenge at Smashed, the hot wing challenge there, the hot chicken challenge. And then they had the 4-pound food challenge. We were writing about those and people were commenting, yeah, I'd love to try that, but I don't want to go there because all the people from across the street, the bus station, just hang out around there. So the loitering is an issue. Now, the problem is you can't stop people from just being on the street. But having a police presence encourages them not to hang around. So anyway, we can talk about that, 508-996-0500. We'll talk about New Bedford Light has a report on more undocumented immigrant arrests. We can talk about that. There's also a story, if you haven't heard it on the news already, of a woman who died after she fell at Purgatory Chasm. If you've ever been there, you can understand how that can happen. And it's actually kind of surprising that it doesn't happen more often. I'm thankful that it doesn't, but still. So we can talk about that as well. 508-996-0500. Right now, though, I've got to take my first break of the morning, and we'll be back in a few moments.
The latest on the New Jersey wildfires, more lawsuits against the president, and an update for the famous Shining Hotel.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
12 states, including New York, suing the Trump administration over the president's steep, wide-ranging tariffs.
New York Attorney General Letitia James has released a statement saying the president does not have the power to raise taxes on a whim. But that's exactly what President Trump has been doing with these tariffs. Connecticut, Arizona, Illinois, Colorado, Minnesota, and Delaware have all joined the suit, along with Maine, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, and Nevada. Arizona AG Chris Mays referred to Trump's tariffs as insane. The states are seeking a court order declaring the tariffs illegal. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
The Ocean County wildfire in New Jersey that's consumed 12,000 acres could become New Jersey's largest in nearly two decades. It's being fed by pine needles and dry leaves, but progress is being made, and Forest Service Fire Chief Bill Donnelly says it's now about 40% contained.
You know, everybody's used to seeing California and things like that, that chaparral that burns up them hills. And these pine barrens out here are the exact same type of fuel model. They are just like having napalm spread across the ground.
Hundreds of firefighters are battling the blaze, which was first spotted Tuesday. It's since spread. One business was destroyed, but no homes so far. Donnelly expects full containment at about 15,000 acres, hopefully by tomorrow night or Saturday morning. President Trump is supporting the idea of providing moms bonuses after having a child. The president's comments came after the media asked about reports of the administration considering the concept. Trump said it sounds like a good idea. The White House is looking to bring up the nation's birth rates with the bonus as one of the proposals. Some remote workers at Google are being told to return to the office or they could lose their jobs. CNBC reports the company is telling some staffers they need to show up at the office 3 days a week. Some of the employees had been previously remote 100%. A Google spokesperson says in-person collaboration is an important part about how the company innovates and solves complex problems.
A little slow tonight, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Mr. Torrance.
The hotel that inspired the horror classic, The Shining, is making major upgrades. The new owners of the Stanley Hotel in Colorado are tapping into municipal bonds to use nearly $300 million to add more rooms, an event center, and a horror museum curated by Blumhouse. That's the production studio behind movies like Halloween and Paranormal Activity. The goal is to take advantage of the Sundance Film Festival that's relocating to nearby Boulder in 2027. The Drug Enforcement Agency would like you to get rid of your leftover drugs. Saturday is National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, where the DEA sponsors sites across the country for disposal of unused prescription drugs. The goal is to keep them from being flushed and contaminating the water supply or ending up in the wrong hands. Collection sites open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and include most police stations. The first trailer has been released for I Know What You Did Last Summer. The film is the fourth in the slasher franchise. It follows a group of friends being stalked by a killer. The cast includes Jennifer Love Hewitt, Freddie Prinze Jr., Madeline Klein, and Tariq Withers. I Know What You Did Last Summer hits theaters on July 18th.
WBSM Sports.
It was the Mariners over the Red Sox last night, 8-5. Those two will wrap things up this afternoon at 1:35. Celtics pulling ahead 2-9 over the Orlando Magic, 109-100. Game 3 heads to Orlando tomorrow night at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
We're largely dry. We see plenty of sunshine. Temperatures not too bad in the afternoon either, with most of us in the low and mid 60s. I do want to mention we have the potential for a small area of low pressure to track our way that could throw a couple clouds into the mix, even a stray shower, not out of the question. Nothing too wild here, just something to keep in mind. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. That was like the less popular single released by Wilson Phillips off their debut album. I remember being a kid when that came out and like reading in magazines. I used to like to read Rolling Stone if I could get it. I didn't become a regular Rolling Stone reader till high school when I would walk across the street to the library and then read it every month when it came out. But every once in a while, you know, I'd get a music magazine or something when I was younger. Usually I got Mad and Cracked and things like that. And then, or comic books. And then my aunt had a subscription to Entertainment Weekly. And she would give me all of her old back issues when she was done with them. And so I'd read about everything. And I remember reading about, you know, the new album from Wilson Phillips and like, who is this Wilson Phillips guy? Sounds like he must be pretty good. They're raving about him. And then turned on MTV one day, or actually I think it was VH1 I saw it for the first time. I was like, oh, Wilson Phillips is a group and it's three women. And then found out the backstory of who they were. Oh, okay. They're related to the Beach Boys and the Mamas and the Papas. All right. And I was like, well, it's pretty catchy. It's pretty fun. But like, I don't want my friends to hear me listening to it. This sounds like music for older people. But then everybody was jamming out to it. So, but that's actually my favorite Wilson Phillips song. I guess maybe I'm just more of a Wendy fan than a Carney fan. Anyway, 508-996-0500. It is school vacation week, of course. So you're probably not seeing too many school buses out there on the road. But trust me, there are a lot of school buses around trying to get our kids to school when school is in session. And they need drivers. They also need monitors, people on the bus to keep an eye on the kids. And Tremblay Bus Company also operates vans as well, and they need van drivers. So if you are interested in being a bus driver, a bus monitor, a van driver, you can apply at tbcbus.com, TBC Bus, Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com, and find out all about how you can earn great pay while helping local kids get to school. So if you are a stay-at-home parent and you need to make some money and you're like, how can I work around my kid's schedule? Or maybe you are somebody who is retired and you're just looking to make some extra money. Maybe you're already working and you need another gig on top of what you're already doing. Just don't be too tired while you're driving the bus with the kids. You want to be alert and ready. But all of those are great situations to become a bus driver, a bus monitor, or a van driver with Tremblay Bus Company. TBCBus.com. to find out more. And as I always remind you, don't worry if you don't have a CDL. They are willing to train you if you are willing to learn. As a little people's college bus goes by, it's a sign. It's a sign. If you're thinking about it, tbcbus.com. All right, so I had mentioned earlier, and Trembley Bus Company brings you this portion of the program. I was talking earlier about this story that happened at Purgatory Chasm. If you're not familiar with it, it's in Sutton. I wrote an article about it a couple of years ago. My son and I went out there and did some hiking. And there's different paths that you can follow when you go there. So when you go to, so it really is a chasm. It's a quarter mile long chasm that is just rock outcroppings and has varying levels of difficulty in being able to climb over some of the rocks, but none of it is really physically exerting, like overly physically exerting. You don't need to like spelunk your way across this thing. When I went there with my son, I was pretty significantly out of shape and I had no problem. The most important thing when you go there is making sure that you wear the proper footwear. You want to wear rubber-soled shoes. You want to wear hiking boots or at least sneakers. When I went there with my son, there was a woman there with her kids, and she had a daughter with her who was probably, I don't know, 12. And that kid was wearing Crocs, climbing all over these rock outcroppings. Like, don't wear Crocs. You should be in sneakers at the very least, hiking boots preferably. But there's also other paths that you can follow that don't involve going through the chasm. There's a number of walking paths. You can ride a bike. There's all kinds of things you can do. I liked walking through the chasm. It was cool to do, but I actually found the wooded paths around the chasm to be more of an interesting walk. So if you go there and see it, even if you just go to the story, you know, type in WBSM.com, Purgatory Chasm. I have photos in there. You can see what it's like over there. And so apparently there was a mother of four who was hiking with three of her four children. A 49-year-old woman from Topsfield. Her name has not yet been released. She was hiking with three of her four children yesterday afternoon at Purgatory Chasm when she fell at least 50 feet into the chasm. So her kids who were with her, they immediately called the park rangers who called 911. The woman had succumbed to her injuries, and it took first responders quite some time to retrieve her remains from the chasm. Now, it's not like you're falling into a pit if you're falling from one of the higher levels. But the rocks, the way that it's, because it's all like a glacial formation, so the way that the rocks are, you know, there's little areas where there's spaces, so you could fall between, and it could take a while to get you out, especially if you know, you're unable to get yourself out at all, in this case, because the woman had passed away, but even if you're, you know, stuck down there with a broken leg. And as dangerous as it is walking around through the chasm itself, walking on the rocks and climbing the rocks and stepping down from one rock to another, and you know, you got to be looking where you're stepping, not ahead. And as dangerous as it can be walking through the chasm itself, it's probably even more dangerous being on the upper level, because it's not like there's guardrails to protect you. You know, you can get too close to the edge and fall. And some of the, you know, the footing up there is probably not that great. You either slip or some of it could break away, and next thing you know, you're sliding down into the chasm. Or just outright falling. So they haven't really released any details about what had happened. You know, exactly how it happened. According to WPRI's report, they said it's unclear at this time exactly where the woman fell or what caused her to lose her balance, but investigators have deemed her death accidental in nature. And they close down Purgatory Chasm if it's been like damp weather. So if it's been raining, or even if it's an especially like dewy day, they'll keep it closed until that all subsides, because the rocks do become so slippery. We went on a summer day, and I was talking to somebody in the, they have like a little ranger station slash museum where you can kind of walk around and look at some photos and news clippings and stuff about the history of the site. And I was talking to the ranger that was there, and I said, you know, how often do you have to close down? And they said, well, you know, we try not to be closed whole days if we can help it, but there's sometimes like on a hot and steamy day, the rocks will become slippery. And so they have to constantly go out there and check and see what the footing is. And if they feel like it's not safe, they have the discretion to close it down. But if you've never been, don't let this deter you. I mean, it's a sad situation, but if you go out there and you are careful and you are safe, it's totally fine. It's a great place to bring the kids. I would bring, you know, I'd make sure that they're a little older. And definitely make sure they're not wearing Crocs or sandals or flip-flops. That was another thing. There was a lady in flip-flops when we were there. And her husband even said to her, like, are you sure you want to wear those flip-flops? And she's like, well, if it gets too bad, I'll just take them off. I'm like, I don't think that's any better. That seems like it would be pretty slippery, too. But anyway, definitely head out there and check it out if you've never been. It's well worth it. It's about maybe an hour from here. So it's in Sutton. It's close to the Rhode Island border. In fact, you actually, the way to get there is you go through the Blackstone Valley. And so you go through Rhode Island. At least the way that I would do it if I was coming from New Bedford is I'd go through, go around Providence and then head out like I was heading toward like North Smithfield. You know, like you're heading out toward Twin River and just keep going. And before you get to, you know, you're going to be in Rhode Island and then you're going to get back over into the Massachusetts, over the Massachusetts line. And then, you know, it's not that far from like the Worcester area. It makes a great trip, you know, especially school vacation week on a nice day like today. It'd be a perfect place to go. You do have to pay to park. I forget how much it was to park, like $3 or $6 or something. So, and you use an app to pay for that. But other than that, you know, it's free to walk around, do everything else. Bring a picnic. They have picnic tables and like a picnic area. But make sure you wear proper footwear and be aware of your surroundings. All right, I'm going to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. I won't say anything at all, so why don't you smile? And welcome back. And don't forget, it is $10,000 Thursday. Your first Money Talks cash code of the day comes up in the 8 o'clock hour. Your first shot at winning $10,000. And we're going to have 10 chances for you throughout the course of the day. So keep listening to WBSM when you hear those codes each hour. Enter them in on the app or on the website, and you'll be able to be entered to win that easy. And there's some bonus entries you can earn there as well by following us and liking us on social media and by doing the same for our great sponsor of Money Talks, Long Moving and Storage. And you could be $10,000 richer at just the right time of year, right? Think about the summer you can have yourself with an extra 10 grand in your pocket. Maybe that's a vacation. Maybe that's, buy yourself a boat. Not a hugely expensive boat, but you can get a boat for $10,000. Something pretty good. Maybe you were thinking about getting a new car, but you're like, yeah, I don't want to have to scrape together the down payment. Well, $10,000, put that down. That'll help your financing. Maybe a couple of jet skis for the summer. There's a lot you could do with $10,000, and you could start planning it all if you are the lucky winner. So first code coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Again, thanks to Long Moving and Storage for making it happen. And I'm interested if anybody went to that meeting last night, the Committee on Public Safety and Neighborhoods, if you were there, whether you were there just as an observer or as a downtown stakeholder, let us know how it went. But I mean, I assumed going into it that the number one concern for everybody would be policing. It's the thing I hear about the most from people downtown. The fact that there are just people hanging around loitering and nobody there to move them along. And again, not that you can do much about it, but if you have a police officer coming by, walking by the library every so often, people are going to be less likely to gather up and spend the day on the steps. But I don't know what else you can do. They could try to open some kind of facility there that would allow for folks to come in and hang out there and charge their phones and use the bathroom, and that would stop them from, you know, congregating at the library and things like that. But somebody's got to be willing to do that. They've got to have the space for that. So interested in your thoughts, 508-996-0500. Got one more break. I got to get in before the end of the hour, so we'll do that right now. All right, that'll do it for this hour. We are going to be talking more with you in the next hour. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails are open for you on the WBSM app. And again, in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with Sydney Snow from Six Flags. We're going to be talking about